Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC. The Sacramento Kings take on the Memphis Grizzlies tonight at Golden 1 Center. And we've talked about this a little bit earlier, but the Mavs win was good. The Sixers win was good. You'll take those. You need to collect those kind of wins against shorthanded teams. The Grizzlies are a little bit different beast.
Uh-huh.
They thrive while playing shorthanded. They play a brand of basketball that has given the Kings some trouble over the last couple of years. And I think if they can go in and win this game tonight, match Memphis's intensity, get a star-level performance from De'Aaron Fox, that kind of game, I think that would, to me, show a fundamental shift in what the Kings are doing, their mindset, and how they're going to look moving forward. I think it would represent that more than the last couple of wins. The last couple of wins were good. I'm not trying to discount them. But if you go win this game tonight, or you play really well, and you know what, man, Memphis just hit a couple of tough shots late and they ended up winning, it'll do more to sell me on the Doug Christie era than any of the previous three games.
No, I totally get what you're saying, but I would also say this, like what we saw in the last game was a shift in what has happened over the first 30 plus games of the season. The Kings had a team that was, you know, pulling away.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 3.5 minutes of a game, they figured out how to get stops and how to win a game that was close. So they came into that game, I think it was 3-11, and games decided by 5 points or less.
Mm-hmm.
They walk out with a win in that game, and they walked out with a win in a game that the week before, 2 weeks before, they probably lost.
I agree.
And for whatever reason that is that you came up with that win, I mean, we know what the reason. The reason is you attack the rim and you got stops, like straight up. Now, again, the team helped you. The team you were playing against helped. They did not execute down the stretch. They did exactly what the Kings have done multiple times this season, and just, you know, they fell apart in crunch time, and the Kings didn't. But that moment in itself is something that I think that Doug Christie and his staff can pin and say, look at this. This is what we are going to be. Mm-hmm. What we were last week is not what we are today. This is who we are going to be now. We're going to be a team in the last 3 minutes of a game, gives everything that we have, that gets defensive stops, that goes out there and plays the right way in the last couple of minutes of a game, and we can turn this thing around just by winning close games. The next step is we don't get in a bunch of close games because we're thumping people. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Sure.
We show that we can win a close game. Now let's start stacking those types of wins until we can start to build some separation. And, like, look, the schedule isn't exactly, you know, like the cream of the crop here in the next, like, 3 or 4 games. You're going to have some tough games coming up, which, you know, happens in the NBA. But for right now, this is, you know, like, go get yourself closer and closer to 500. Get back to 500. That is such a key moment for this team.
Okay, and if you get boat raced tonight, I don't care what you did against the Sixers.
No, that's true.
Like the Sixers win was, like I said, I'm not discounting it. This is a 23-11 team. This is a bona fide playoff team in the West.
Yep.
What do you look like against them? That's the next step to me. The first couple of wins, you called them baby steps yesterday. I think that's a great way to put it.
Yep.
This would be a legitimate step forward tonight. And that's what I think is at stake for the Kings. How do they get a win? Let's go through the keys. Brought to you by nobody. Jiffy Lube, I guess. They sponsor the show.
There it is.
Shout out to Jiffy Lube. We love them. James Hamm, keys to a Kings victory, number one for tonight.
I know this is totally bizarre, but keep a body on John Conchar. Conchar. He is sneaky good. He has destroyed the Sacramento Kings a couple of times. He's one of those players, like I looked, per 36 for his career, he averages 8.3 rebounds per game at 6'5" as a shooting guard. Like, he just doesn't quit. He has a motor, and he's crafty and a little bit dirty, but he's a guy that can impact this game in a really, really strange way, and if you let him do that, you're going to get beat.
Yep. That's the... We typically embody the like rando that kills the Kings on the 3-point line.
Yeah.
John Conchar going in and grabbing a bunch of offensive rebounds after the Kings get a stop and Memphis gets second chance points. That would be a way, another way a rando could kill the Kings tonight.
No, totally.
Not that Conchar's total rando. He's a good player.
He's a rando.
Yeah.
I mean, not to be rude, but
he's not Jaren Jackson. He's not Desmond Bane.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is averaging 3.1 points per game, and we're worried about him.
Yeah. Key number one for me, I thought their physicality at the end of the Sixers game was really, really good. Playing physical defense without fouling, that was a huge reason they got so many of those stops down the stretch. You have to do that against Memphis. Memphis is going to be physical. You need to match that. From the opening tip.
Yeah, I liked what Domantas Sabonis said about this. I don't think it was the last game. I think it was against Dallas. He said, we kept hitting them, and the officials kept calling fouls. Eventually, we showed that that's what we were going to do the rest of the game, and the officials stopped calling fouls.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, that's like you have to show that you're going to play to that level of physicality the whole time. And it's not about just fouling somebody to foul them. It's about like proving a point early on and cranking up the intensity of the game where the officials understand, okay, I'm
right
calling a really, really tough game tonight.
So it's the Legion of Boom Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
That's the philosophy. You're going to penalize us a lot. You're not going to penalize us on every play, though.
Nope.
So
here it is.
Stay physical.
Yeah. I think staying physical to me is a huge, huge thing for this team. And show that you're ready to, you know, to match the physicality of another team.
Yep, absolutely. Premature buzzer there, or premature ding there. Pause. Number two.
Yeah, learn about what playing 48 minutes is. Because the Memphis Grizzlies play 48 minutes. And if you don't believe that, just watch tape from them for the last 5 years. That's what they do under Taylor Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter who's on the court. They are going to keep clawing and fighting all the way down to the end of the game. And the Sacramento Kings have struggled with this concept for 15, 16 years. Like, play it out.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't quit. Don't stop playing. They're going to give you an opportunity. They're way depleted.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the talent to match you if you're playing at your best.
Yep.
But they're going to not go away. So if you give them a little bit of room, they're going to get right back in a game.
Yep. Yep. And that's what they do, man. And that relays a little bit into my second key. You mentioned having more talent. I've been pretty critical of DeMar DeRozan over the last few weeks. I think they need a big DeMar DeRozan night tonight. I think one of the ways you can hang with Memphis is slowing the game down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's atypical of what we say about the Kings. We're typically, especially Monk and Fox, it's like, get out and go, go, go. That's what Memphis wants. That is where they are at their best. I think if you can have a big night for DeMar DeRozan where he scores 30, and he's dribbling the air out of the ball and just getting to his spots and hitting shots and forcing Memphis to slow the game down like that. That is something I think would play to the Kings' advantage, and I think they need DeMar to have a big night tonight.
Yeah, that to me, like DeMar is, it stood out the last couple, like the last week and a half, where he's just not playing the same pace and speed that the rest of the team is.
Yep,
and it totally stands out.
Yep.
And I know people like don't like when I bring it up, like in six quick thoughts, like, oh, you're bringing up that, but you're not bringing up this mistake that someone else made. And it's like, are you watching the same game I'm watching?
Yep.
Yeah. So move the ball. But, you know, again, a big DeMar DeRozan night would be good for the Kings.
Yep. Number three.
Embrace the Sacramento experience.
This
has been the worst of the worst home teams that I've ever seen. And to me, it's an embarrassment because Sacramento Kings fans deserve better on their home court. They bring it every single game. And I don't know what it is like that this team has been lacking, but I do know this. When Doug Christie brought the team up onto the roof of Golden 1 Center after the game the other night, and we were waiting in the media room like, hey, they're like, there's going to be a delay here with the players.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a minute. Sorry about it.
Because they're going to the roof.
We had no idea. They went to the roof and Doug showed them the beam up close and personal. The beam lighting up the sky, Kyle. Mm-hmm. And he talked about, like, this is Sacramento. You mm-hmm. are the light of the city. And if you are from Sacramento, you understand that that is the case.
Yep.
And so I think embracing the Sacramento experience right now is a big deal. Like, yep. If Doug is going to get buy-in, that's one of the ways he's getting buy-in.
You don't even have to be from here. You could just live here for a while, and it permeates.
Oh, yeah.
You fully understand it. I'm right there with you. Number three for me, I need a shooter to come to life tonight. Kevin Huerter, Doug McDermott, Malik Monk.
Trey Lyles.
If Keegan plays, Keegan. I need somebody to knock down some threes tonight.
Keon.
Because Memphis is gonna hit some. They're going to try and play fast. They're going to get a lot of shots up. If you're going to keep up, it's just the math. I need somebody. It can't be one of those seven made threes nights. That is the third and final key for me. All right.
Go ahead.
That's James. I'm Kyle. It's Kings Grizzlies tonight at Golden 1 Center. It's a big one for Sacramento. I want to remind everybody as well, week 18 of the NFL season wraps up this weekend. The Raiders taking on the LA Chargers in their season finale. Kickoff is set for 1:25. And you can hear that here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just
talking about shooters.
Yeah, no, I was going to point out that the Grizzlies lead the league at 123.2 points per game. Like, you better hit some shots.
Yeah, they score a lot. And the thing with Memphis, it's crazy, is I feel like once a game I see a tweet from a Grizzlies beat writer or radio guy or whoever that's like, yeah, Memphis over the last 4 minutes has scored 49 points. It's not that many, but it's some insane amount of points in some ridiculously short amount of time.
Yes.
They will just go on these avalanches where there's just nothing you're going to do. And Jaren Jackson's going to hit a three, and Desmond Bane's going to hit a three, and then Ja Morant's going to get in the lane and score. It just, they're really hard to stop. And that's why we could talk about the Kings offense all day, but defensively, I think it was awesome what they did at the end of the Sixers game. I need that night in, night out. You mentioned 48 minutes. If you get that, it reminded me at the end of last year where the defensive intensity was just really, really good. And when the Kings do that, they have the offensive firepower to be really hard to beat.
No, I totally agree. I mean, this team right now, Kyle, their offensive rating, Memphis, this is Per Basketball Reference, so it's not NBA.com, but 116.8, they're sixth in the league. Defensive rating, 108.2. They're fourth in the NBA in defensive rating.
Man.
Their net rating is a plus 8.6.
Is that the best in the league?
No, I don't think.
It's fourth behind Boston, Cleveland, and OKC.
Yeah.
OKC's defensive rating is 103.4.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Well, I mean, that's what their team is.
Man.
Yeah. And that's without Chet.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Cleveland at 121.9 offensive rating.
Oof.
There's some really good teams in the league this year.
Kenny Atkinson is not getting his flowers that he probably should be for that Cleveland team.
Yeah, I agree.
That Cleveland,
do you know they're on pace for 72 wins?
That's wild.
They are 29-4.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I mean, that is absolutely crazy. And again, they're a team that, like, their net rating, their defensive rating is incredible. Their offensive rating is number one in the league. They're sixth in defensive rating. They're a plus 11.8. That's wild, man.
Really good team. Yeah. Shout out to Kenny Atkinson, man. What's funny about this NBA season is I feel like everything I watch and everything I'm taking note of has to do with, like, next year and beyond.
Because
I still think Boston's going to win the finals this year.
Yeah.
I think it might be tougher for them this year than it was last year.
Maybe. I don't know, though.
But they're at 25-9. They have a plus 10.7 net rating, and they're in cruise control.
Mm-hmm.
But you're seeing proof of concept with Cleveland. You're seeing proof of concept with Oklahoma City. Memphis is still really good. The Knicks have been playing a lot better lately after their rough start. Orlando, with what Paolo was doing, what Franz was doing while Paolo was out, if those two guys start to figure it out together, Orlando's all of a sudden really, really excellent.
If they get healthy, and they lost Mo Wagner too,
yeah,
I think for the season, like they've had a lot of injuries pile up. The crazy thing with Cleveland.
Houston, Dallas, sorry.
Cleveland leads the league in three-point percentage at 40.7.
Mm-hmm.
They also lead the league in two-point field goal percentage at 58.3. their overall field goal percentage on the season, they're shooting over 50% from the field.
Good God.
50.4. Yeah, just like absolutely crazy good.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
Really, really good team out there in Cleveland. We talked about Raiders draft scenarios last segment.
Mm-hmm.
49ers NFL draft scenarios, because that's where they're at. Here's a weird thing that can happen. The 49ers are clinched last place in the NFC West. Fourth out of four, no matter what happens on Sunday. They could win by 100 points on Sunday, still last. If they beat Arizona, they'll finish with the same record as the Cardinals, but behind them in the standings, but also behind them in the NFL draft.
Huh?
I need to figure out how that can happen. Because in the standings, the tiebreakers are different. It's like, it's head-to-head, and then it's record within the division, and then it's not, I think conference is fourth, but it's like scheduling or common games, record in common games.
Okay.
I forget exactly how, but that's how those tiebreakers are. The draft tiebreaker is strength of schedule. The 49ers have the highest strength of schedule in the league.
Okay.
So they don't win any tiebreaker. They fall to the bottom of whatever teams they're tied with in the draft.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're going to finish behind the Cardinals if they win, behind the Cardinals in the draft and in the standings.
Oof.
That feels like a thing that shouldn't be able to happen.
No, that does not feel like it should happen.
But the 49ers currently slated to pick 11th. That's the highest they can go. Because the best they can do is tie with the Saints, and they're going to have a better strength of schedule, so they're going to finish behind them. So 11's the highest they can go. The lowest they can go is 14th.
Ooh.
So we're going to do some scoreboard watching for you for whether the 49ers pick 11th, 12th, 13th, or 14th. If they lose to the Cardinals, they pick 11th, no matter what happens. If they beat the Cardinals, and the Cowboys beat the Commanders, and the Colts beat the Jaguars, the 49ers will pick 12th. If the Niners win, and one of the Colts or Cowboys loses, they'll pick 13th.
Okay.
If the Niners win, and both of those teams lose, the Cowboys and the Colts, the Niners will pick 14th.
Hmm.
So you bet your ass, I am finding a broadcast of Colts Jags week 18 and I'm locking in.
Are you gonna like four box this thing with all of, oh god,
because the Cowboys and Colts both play at 10 and the Niners are 125.
I'm just wondering, like, where are we at with, like, who's okay? So in the top 10, just looking at like a basic CBS Sports,
yep.
I'm looking at CBS Sports. Josh Edwards has his mock draft.
Okay.
And in the top, like, because I'm of the opinion that the 49ers very specifically need defensive line, offensive line help.
Yep.
They've got Mason Graham going at number 3, defensive lineman.
Good player from Michigan.
They've got an edge rusher, Abdul Carter, at number 6.
Sixth? Wow.
That's where they have him. Okay. Number 7, they have Will Campbell, an offensive tackle, 6'6". Offensive tackle.
Texas?
Let me see. LSU.
Mm.
Number 9, they have Kelvin Banks Jr., an offensive tackle.
Texas.
He's Texas.
Right.
And then number 10, they have an edge rusher, Mikel Williams. And then, what's that?
Georgia?
Yeah, Georgia. And then Nick Scorton, out of Texas A&M, a junior edge rusher. They have him at number 11. Like, that's what the 49ers need. Like Kenneth Grant all the way down at number 15th.
Kenneth Grant, really good player.
Yeah, Kenneth Grant out of a defensive lineman out of Michigan.
They're going to be in a really good spot in that 11 to 14 range to get a good player at a spot they need.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of what they really, really need is you know, like, whether it's offensive line help or defensive line help, you got to start planning for the future without Trent Williams.
Mm-hmm.
But you also need an improvement over Colt McKivitz. You're going to have a tough time retaining Banks, right?
Aaron Banks at left guard. I don't know that they'll do that in the first round, but you need defensive tackle help.
Yeah.
You need defensive end help, I think, more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of holes to fill.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how just the draft kind of shakes out, because what a mock draft looks like today is not what it's going to look like in
like six March. Months. Yeah, because this thing drags out worse than any draft process of all time.
Oh, yeah, it started. Your boy at NinersWire.com, you hit me with a mock draft, I'm writing it.
Yeah, you're already ready?
I'm tapped in. I really, really need, speaking real quick of playoff scenarios in Week 18, we'll dive a little further into this with Jesse Tapia coming up here after Mad Props. But actually, you know what? I want to save this for Jesse. I want to save this for Jesse. College football playoff.
Okay.
Briefly. The top four teams lost. All four teams that had a first round bye lost their first game.
Oof.
Oregon got blown out by Ohio State. Georgia got beat by Notre Dame yesterday. I'm not going to say blown out. It was 23-10, but that game was a lot closer than the final score.
Okay.
Notre Dame scored a touchdown right before the half. No, they kicked a field goal right before the half and then forced a fumble on the first play from scrimmage and then scored a touchdown right before the half and then returned the second half kickoff for a touchdown.
Oh, yeah. So that looks a little lopsided.
Avalanche, but Georgia played really well. So Georgia loses. Boise State got beat by, was it Penn State? Yeah, Penn State. That's right. And then Arizona State had that double overtime thriller against Texas, and they lost.
Oof. Scataboo.
He was awesome. Sac State legend. Stingers up.
He was so good.
I saw some guy, I don't even know his name, Gina from our sales staff, sent me this video of this guy from CBS Sports whining about the college football playoff. And I don't disagree that the college football playoff needs to tweak how it gives out byes, because the best teams didn't get byes and it led to these weird paths through the playoffs. So you weren't getting a true like pyramid, right? Or I guess it's supposed to be like an inverted pyramid. Like the quote unquote worst playoff teams all play at the beginning and then that all filters down ideally, right? If everything goes chalk. So I get that they probably need to change the way they dole out the top four seeds. But the whiny guy from CBS Sports complained that they're going to crown the best team in the playoffs, not the best team in the season.
Mm.
Newsflash to CBS Sports guy. That's the point of the playoffs.
That's the way it works.
That's why they do playoffs. So we don't just go, on vibes, let's see. Oregon, Ohio State, you're the two best teams. You're playing for the natty. Like, no, that's not how this works. They rank 12 teams. Those teams are in the playoffs. And then whatever happens, do they crown the best team in March Madness every year? Does the best team in college basketball win March Madness every year?
Very, very seldom.
Very rarely. Does the best team in the NFL win the Super Bowl every year?
Well, I mean, you could say maybe the Chiefs, but I would even make the claim that the 49ers have been a better team.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Through the full season last year, the 49ers are better than the Chiefs, but guess what? It didn't freaking matter because the Chiefs won in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
They were the best team in the playoffs.
Them are the rules.
That's what matters, bro.
That's all that matters.
That's how this goes. Is the best team in Major League Baseball win it every year? Yes, sometimes. Not all the time.
No.
That's why playoffs are fun. That's why everybody wanted a playoff.
Yeah.
To see, hey, let's let this play out on the field. Let's let these teams duke it out. And sometimes, you know what? Yeah, Georgia's going to face plant against Notre Dame. And you know what? Sometimes Oregon's going to lay an egg against Ohio State. And did Oregon get a little bit screwed by their draw? Sure. Did Georgia get a little bit screwed by their draw? Sure. And can they do something to fix that in the future? Yeah, I think they can. But crowning the best team in the playoffs versus the best team in the season? That's the point of the playoffs, man.
Yeah, the regular season means nothing. I mean, it does mean something, but it doesn't. But at the end of the day, that's not the way that it works. I mean, it's
nobody cares that the 73-9 Warriors won 73 games.
Oh yeah,
because they did not win the championship.
Nope.
That's how it goes, dog. Welcome to sports.
Yeah.
College football doesn't get to be different.
No.
You have a playoff, you play the teams in front of you, and you crown a champion.
That's right.
That's how this works. Shout out to the college football playoff. Hasn't been the best. I've been enjoying it. You can listen to the semifinals right here next Thursday and Friday on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. All right, mad props to Jesse Tapia coming up next. We got NFL playoff clinching scenarios, the games you need to watch in the NFL this weekend. If you don't want to watch the Niners and Raiders anymore, which I would totally get, there's still plenty to check out, and we'll get into that as well. He's James. I'm Kyle. Jesse Tapia going to join us next for mad props here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, and Jesse Tapia. Jesse in the building joining us. We'll get to mad props here in a moment. Jesse, of course, the producer of D'Lo and KC, which is coming up in 26 minutes right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Before we dive into mad props, though, James, we got to talk about this. And Jesse, sorry. James and Jesse, we got to talk about this. Quote from Sasha Vezenkov.
I saw that.
Okay.
Currently playing for Olympiakos. He told, I want to make sure I'm crediting this correctly, basketnews.com.
Mm-hmm. Basket News.
It's a website that covers baskets, longer burger baskets, things of that nature.
Weaved baskets, yes.
He talked about Mike Brown's firing. And he said, quote, you know, I try to learn from every coach, but I won't lie. The experience with him was not, talking about Mike Brown, was not the best for me. I will not criticize. I would never criticize someone's knowledge. He was coach of the year in the NBA twice, so he proved something. And then went on to mention that he was not always honest with his communication.
Hmm.
Thoughts?
Okay, look. When you go out and sign a player that's tearing up Europe and then you get them in your own building and you see what they look like against other NBA talent, what are you supposed to say to somebody? I'm sorry, your feet don't move fast enough to play at the NBA level. I'm sorry that, like, if you're not shooting three-pointers, then you're not going to play at all.
Do you think it had more to do when he says the communication wasn't honest, like what his role would be? Like he felt like he got tricked into coming over here?
Well, I mean, but that's not Mike Brown. And that's where that's one of the problems. That's not Mike Brown tricking him into saying, like, hey, come over. Now, Mike Brown did go over there and was sitting courtside and watched him play overseas and like, hey, we like what you bring, but
wasn't it Mike Brown who said early on too, like, I don't even know if Sasha will play? Like, I'm pretty sure that was, like right as he was getting to the team and all that. Mike Brown even said that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's where, like, you got to be on the same page as front office and if you're a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And you go out as a front office and get a purely offensive weapon in from the European game that is, like, I mean, so slow-footed, it's crazy. And there wasn't enough time here. Plus, he had an injury that cost him a bunch of time. That wasn't Mike Brown. That was, right. You know, the injury was a medical staff. At the end of the day, I think the Sasha experiment was not a good experiment for anyone involved. And it didn't feel good for anyone because you got a player who, like, just because you play in the European game and you're a European MVP does not mean that it instantly translates and you're going to be a very good role player at the NBA level.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't. And you're certainly not going to be an MVP.
I also kind of wonder, too, if, and again, I wasn't there. I don't know. But I do wonder, too, like, communication is a pretty big thing. And that's something that Sasha talked about in his quote was Mike Brown's communication. I do wonder, too, if Mike's communication style just didn't jibe with him and him being Sasha and other players. Like, he didn't adjust the way he coached De'Aaron super hard and was very open about, we need more from De'Aaron. I need him to be angry every night. I know he's a superstar, and if he wants to make that leap, he's got to do X, Y, and Z. And he was just, like, on his ass like that. Pause. I wonder if that's the approach he took with everybody and if that didn't sit right with everybody.
I don't know. I mean, they're most.
I have no. I'm asking. Yeah. This, I don't know.
Most players that played for Mike really liked Mike. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some players that don't. and don't like all the practice time and all that stuff, like there's always going to be someone who doesn't have the same, you know, feelings about you. I mean, even go back to year one of Mike Brown when they won 48 games. There were players in the locker room that were like, hey, number one, we practiced too much, or number two, I don't like my role. And some of those players aren't in the NBA anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it goes. I mean, like, so I think that they're managing somebody's, like what promises were made to somebody, mm-hmm. and all that stuff from over, like, it's difficult because, again, as a coach, it's your job to put the players on the floor that are going to help the team win,
mm-hmm.
straight up. And that team won 48 games. They were third in the Western Conference. And I think Mike did, well, it was the next season, 46 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, like, I don't know that Sasha Vezenkov would have changed the outcome of the season at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, end of story. Like, sure. I don't know how he could have changed the outcome of last season for the Kings.
Yeah, you understand why Sasha feels that way, but you also understand why Mike didn't play him. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I think everybody's right here.
Yeah. Fine. It's good, Sasha. Yeah. No worries, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't hate that. I do wonder. I see Sass in the chat saying that Mike Brown can't develop players and that Nemias Keita is evidence of that. I would say if you're putting it all on Mike Brown, because again, at the professional level, the head coach is not quote unquote developing players. Players do most of that work in the offseason. But I do think there's something to giving that player a chance, giving them, you know, some kind of role where they can go play a little bit. The thing is the margin for error with Boston is so much wider than it is with Sacramento.
Yeah, I don't really like those, like, oh, he developed in Boston and not Sacramento. Like, in Boston, he had every opportunity. Hey, we're going to throw you out there the last 10 minutes of this game because it's over. So just go ahead and play ball and learn.
Right.
And stuff like that. He literally had, like, stages, like, he was hitting and all that.
Right. And you can do that because Boston can afford for Nemias Keita to make some mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
They're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Sacramento could not. I would say that Malik Monk developed here, if you're putting it all on the coach.
Yeah.
Malik Monk is the best version of himself that he's ever been. Domantas Sabonis was put in a position to be the best player of best version of himself that he's ever been.
De'Aaron Fox's stats are better than any time in his career.
Great point. I'm not putting Sasha's NBA career, quote unquote, on Mike Brown. I'm not putting Nemias Keita developing in Boston in ways that he didn't in Sacramento on Mike Brown. Like, it's all situation.
Yeah, well, that, and we're talking about, again, not to disrespect Nimi, because I love him
disrespect him. Let's go.
Whoa. He's with us now, so relax.
He's averaging 5.5 points and 4.5 rebounds per game. And if you look at the per 36 numbers, he's basically the same exact player he was in Sacramento.
Well,
actually, he's less than the player he was in Sacramento. And, like, I'm not, again, trying to take away from Nimi's doing, but it's a lot different playing alongside Jason Tatum and playing alongside Jaylen Brown and playing alongside a team that has a defensive identity that is, like, so when you go play your 12 minutes or 14 minutes, whatever it is, for the Boston Celtics,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to do anything but rebound and be
it's
in the
rebound
right
and
spot.
Catch a lob. That's what Nemias Keita's job is on the Celtics.
Yep.
Rebound
yeah.
and catch this lob.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so I'd also, like, if you guys really want to know, like, Sass made this point here. Nemias Keita was, like, second in MVP balloting in the G League and was all NBA, all G League first team, and he was all G League defensive first team. He developed here in Sacramento. The difference is that the Kings didn't have all the players around him to make him take that next step and to be able to hide his deficiencies at the pro level. And whether you can say that what JaVale McGee had those or not, mm-hmm. it's just that Mike felt more comfortable with a guy that he had coached before and mm-hmm. is a seasoned veteran than he did with a young player. And I think the Kings mishandled that situation and that they should have kept Nemias Keita on the roster. And, you know, waving Nerlens Noel is one thing, but you probably should have kept Nemi mm-hmm. on the team. But he also didn't want to sit there and play in the G League the whole year.
Yeah.
And so I get it. You gave a kid an opportunity and he went somewhere else and has found better success. But, I mean, Keon Ellis was an undrafted second round pick. If you don't think he's developed in Sacramento, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because Colby Jones hasn't developed, I don't know what to tell you. Even like Mason Jones averaging 9.5 assists per game. He's shooting something like 57% from three at the G League level. He's developed.
It's not like they're botching a bunch of lotto picks.
No.
We're talking about like late first, second round undrafted guys.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that's where this team's like, oh, like that's why it's like, yeah, I guess if you want to point that out, that's fine. We can have a conversation about it, but well, it's even, not like high on the list.
That to me, the inability to find players is more front office based than coaching based to me.
Well, even that, but like look at Davion Mitchell. There's nothing that Mike Brown or his coaching staff could do to make Davion Mitchell like 3 inches taller.
Yeah.
Like, or make him, like, they worked with him, and he didn't hit his shots in games.
Yep.
At the end of the day, that's it. Like, have guys, like, regressed?
You can't play 4-on-5 on offense.
Okay. But Kevin Huerter, like, we can say Kevin Huerter had the best season of his career his first year in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Barnum, like, the best season of his career.
Yeah.
Like, they helped develop him and put him in a situation to succeed. After that, whatever happens, like, maybe the problem is they aren't able to continue. Maybe Mike Brown's people weren't able to continue to keep somebody either engaged or on the right path. But I don't think, like, I don't know. It's too early. It's too early, especially with a guy like Keegan Murray.
Want to get to Mad Props?
Yeah.
Oh, it's your show, bro.
Sick. Thanks. Sick. Now my button's not working. I love it.
It's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
Yeah, Kyle, James, and Jesse. It's been a while, but we are back with Mad Props.
Was an absurdly long break, it felt like.
Yeah, well, like, we weren't here for a while.
Yeah, I came back to the board yesterday, and like we didn't come to break. Our first break, like you were there, took us about 5 seconds to go. It was a little weird yesterday.
Yeah, a little strange.
Yeah.
But we're back. That's why you get the short week preseason. We're locked in next week. All right. 49ers game Sunday against the Cardinals, and the Kings game tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies. So we're going to start, Jesse. We will start with you because your Miami Dolphins have a big game coming up this weekend.
Brother, do they?
We're big Chiefs fans this weekend.
I cannot believe we're still here, but we're still here.
We have never been more back than we are right now. We'll talk about why here in a second. Jesse, we'll start with you. Josh Dobbs pass attempts or DeMar DeRozan points?
DeMar DeRozan points. Give me Josh Dobbs like 18, 19 pass attempts or whatever. I'm going to go DeMar DeRozan about 20 to 26 points.
Ooh.
I don't know why, but it's how I feel. And it's Friday.
James?
I'm going to go Josh Dobbs.
That's the way I went.
All okay. Right,
whatever then.
Boy,
I do think I do think the Kings need a big game from DeMar DeRozan, but I don't know. It feels like the way the 76ers game finished, I think we're going to see them not phase out DeMar DeRozan. But I think it's going to be more De'Aaron, more Domas, and more Malik, and less DeMar DeRozan in the offense.
Okay.
Maybe I'm insane.
Maybe. But maybe you're right.
Go on Josh Dobbs pass attempts.
Okay.
Sounds I think good. The Niners are going to want to see what they're getting with Josh Dobbs. Isaac Garendo a little banged up. I don't know.
Yeah.
Isaac Garendo rushing yards, James. Or Kings total points after three quarters.
Ooh, I'm going to go Kings. Oh, wait. This is a really, really good defensive Memphis team.
Mm-hmm.
I think 72 is probably like a good number. I don't think Garendo gets there. His body is beat up, and I just don't know that he's got that in him in the final week of the season.
Jesse?
I'm going to go Isaac Garendo.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going to go Isaac Garendo. I like that number that James had after like about 70-some points for the Kings. I think Garendo will top that at least.
So you think it's just a big game for Isaac Garendo?
Yeah, you get 80 yards and whatever. Okay. I feel like comfortable with that.
I think he can play. I think he's a good player. Especially after he only had 9 carries last week. Might try and ride him here in week 18. Pause. Ricky
twice
Pearsall.
Today, brother.
I know. Three times. Ricky Pearsall targets or Keegan Murray rebounds?
Oh, this one's easy, I feel like. I'm going to go Ricky Pearsall targets.
Ooh,
they're going to get him involved.
Okay, James.
But Keegan's not going to, like, when are we talking about? What game?
Tonight.
Like, I don't think Keegan's going to play. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay,
I'm even more right.
Hang on.
I'm going to say Pearsall.
Hang on. Let me, I'll redo that one here in a second. scrap that. Scrap the Keegan Murray rebounds. We'll do Ricky Pearsall targets and something else. Juwan Jennings targets, James, or Kevin Huerter field goal attempts?
I'm going to go Juwan Jennings. I think they're going to push for 1,000.
Yep. I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
All right. Well, that kind of changes my answer. I'll go Juwan Jennings, too, then, if that's what we're on.
Juwan Jennings might get, like, 15 targets.
All right. Let's go Juwan Jennings.
They're going to try so hard to get him to 1,000.
I think so, too.
All that matters. 49ers total points, Jesse, or Kings bench total points?
Can you top 10 49ers? Can you top 10? I'm going to go 49ers.
That's the route I went as well, James.
Oh, man.
Can you top 7, maybe? Can you score a touchdown and a field goal?
All right, I am going Sacramento Kings bench.
How many minutes is Keon Ellis getting?
Keon Ellis is going to start.
Oh, well, then, yeah, it's cooked. It's cooked. It's cooked. The 49ers are going to top that then.
I got Trey Lyles with 11.
You're taking
11.
The Kings bench now?
I've got 7 points from Kevin Huerter.
Kings bench about to have the game of their life.
I'm not totally convinced that Josh Dobbs and the Niners offense is going to put up more than like 17.
Yeah, I'm taking the Kings bench scoring more.
That's fine. That's more than enough.
Can you get a touchdown?
That's more than enough.
A 2-point conversion.
Oh, man.
All right. Second to last one, because I got to think of something to do with Ricky Pearsall targets. Jake Moody made field goals or Alex Len made field goals? Setting the number at 1.
Can we do misses on this one?
Oh, no.
Yeah, hey, you know what? Yeah, Jake Moody missed field goals. That's what we're going to do. That's a good idea, Jesse. Jake Moody missed field goals or Alex Len missed field goals?
I'm going to go Jake Moody on this one for the sake of the bit.
I'm taking Alex Len for the sake of the bit.
I went Jake Moody made field goals, but I'm also going to do Jake Moody missed field goals.
There we go.
Oof.
I'm doing both. Ricky Pearsall targets, or we're going to do this on the fly.
How about Ricky Pearsall targets or De'Aaron Fox rebounds and assists?
Oh, we don't have a De'Aaron Fox in here. Okay, Ricky Pearsall targets. Okay, that's a good one. Nice shot, Jesse. Really well done. De'Aaron Fox rebounds and assists.
I'll go Ricky Pearsall targets. They got him involved last week a lot, so I'm going to stick with that.
I'm going to go De'Aaron Fox, although I think he only had 6 combined, maybe 7 combined rebounds assists last game.
Mm-hmm.
That's atypical. I'm going to go higher.
So you're going De'Aaron?
Yeah, De'Aaron.
Okay. I think I'm going to go De'Aaron too, because I think Ricky Pearsall is going to get involved, but I think involved in the way that he gets like 6 targets, you're going to get a couple for George Kittle because Dobbs is just going to rely on him. That's the safety blanket. You're going to get a couple little checkdowns, and then I think it's going to be heavy, heavy Juwan Jennings.
Mm.
That's how I think it's going to go. Ricky Pearsall, give me in that 6-7 range. I think De'Aaron point rebounds and assists eclipses that.
Okay.
This was a fun mad props.
So we're at. I think we're just going to keep it going through the NFL playoffs.
That works.
Oh, I'm in.
Why not?
Yeah.
Man. I look forward to coming and hang out on Friday. So
yeah, I look forward to having you, man. Thanks for dropping by. All right, here we go. NFL playoff clinching scenarios. We'll start Saturday. The Ravens play the Browns.
Yep.
The Ravens beat the Browns. They clinch the NFC North. The Steelers, if they beat Cincinnati and Baltimore loses to Cleveland, Pittsburgh wins the NFC North. I don't think that's happening. I think Baltimore is going to steamroll Cleveland.
Yeah.
That feels right.
Yeah. I think it's going to take, because I think that game happens first. Are they going to take a lot of the drama out of that second game?
Dorian Thompson also was just not very good.
Bad player.
Yeah.
Swing and a miss. Swing and a miss by me. I was a big DTR guy.
Not very good.
That was a whiff by your boy. But no, we are big Chiefs fans this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Carson Wentz,
Let's
wherever
go.
You are, please.
Let's go.
I can't believe it. It's disgusting, to be honest. Like, this is whole being a sports fan. I'm depending on Carson Wentz.
And Snoop Huntley.
Yes. That's what's going to help me get me to the playoffs.
So if you're not familiar with the program or with Jesse, Jesse is a big Miami Dolphins fan.
Facts.
Yeah.
Depend a lot of my life on it. It's absurd.
He needs a Dolphins win and a Broncos loss.
It's not much.
To get Miami into the postseason. That's all they need.
Right. That's it. No one else to lose. No one else to tie or whatever.
Yep,
just
don't need anything
Broncos,
insane.
We need you to lose. And Dolphins, just do your job and beat the Jets.
Hmm. Are they?
Yeah, it's the Jets. Like, come on.
Sauce Gardner, somehow they quit last week.
Okay, but Denver is not currently in. They have to win, right?
No. Denver is currently the 7th seed.
Yeah, if Denver, would they, if Denver, Miami, and Cincinnati were to lose, I think Denver's in. Denver just needs to win, and they're fine.
Okay, but if Denver loses to Kansas City,
and Miami,
which is what you need.
Yes, and Miami wins, then Miami is in.
Okay, but Denver's going to be fighting.
Yeah, Denver's going to be trying, and Kansas City is not.
Yeah. There's
Kansas City's got the 1 seed.
This is fun. Miami needs a miracle. Like, she's playing a lot of their backups and all that. Like, Denver should take care of
it. Would it be better to miss the playoffs? So let's say you win on Sunday, but Denver beats the Chiefs and you miss the playoffs. Or make the playoffs and get boat raced by Buffalo in the first round.
See, that's the thing. If you make the playoffs, are you going to get boat raced? It's tough to beat a team. No, hey, relax. It's tough to beat a team 3 times in a row in 1 season. That's what they say. That's what they say. All right? Don't do this to me. I'm already thinking about Buffalo already. Okay? I'm already scheming up, trying to figure out how we could take down Josh Allen.
Calling Mike McDaniel. Let him know.
How we don't lose by 30. Don't do that to me yet.
Okay.
Mm.
No, I don't want to miss the playoffs. You never want to miss the playoffs.
When the Niners there after, after the Niners beat the Bears and was like, oh, they got life. I was like, I hope they don't.
You got to understand.
I don't want to see him go to Philly and get mollywopped.
My first memories of the Dolphins began in like 2002. So Ricky Williams was great, but like Dan Marino was gone. The team's just been ass.
Ooh.
So it's like, we don't have many playoff appearances. So like, I'll take an ass whooping against the Bills compared to, we missed it.
Although
again.
I thought you were going to get an ass whooping against the Bills when Skylar Thompson started, and Skylar Thompson nearly beat him.
Buddy, we're so down bad as a sports fan. I'll go back and watch highlights of that game, and I'll cut it off after Zach Sealer scores a touchdown to take the lead.
We need Miami to make the playoffs.
We're starving. We're starving.
What do you got? Oh, man. In the NFC South, Tampa Bay needs to win. They got to beat New Orleans or tie New Orleans. Or they need Atlanta to lose to Carolina. I'll tell you what. With Tampa Bay, I would want the loser of Detroit, Minnesota, which is the Sunday night game.
Mm-hmm.
Winner of that game is the number one seed, clinches the NFC North. Loser has to go to Tampa Bay in the wild card round. I'd want no smoke with Tampa Bay in that game.
Yeah, give me Detroit if I'm the Bucks.
Dude, yeah, Detroit flying high, feeling good all year. All of a sudden, they got to go on the road.
Injuries
in round
all
one
over
of the playoffs,
ooh, Tampa Bay will hang up 40 on you too. Easy.
That's scary hours, dude. All right, I think that's all we got for NFL playoff clinching scenarios. Go Chiefs, go Dolphins.
Facts.
What do you guys got on D'Lo and Casey?
It's gonna be a lot of Kings today. A lot of Kings. Yep. Maybe Devin Carter is playing today, right?
Sounds like it.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
Well, he's
like
eligible. He's available to play.
Okay. Yeah. So sounds like he might or whatever. So just talk a lot of Kings, 49ers. James Hamm will be there. It'll be a good time.
Can't wait. I'll be there too.
Okay, Kyle Madsen will be there as well.
Also gonna be there. It's fine. Yeah. D'Lo and KC coming up next. James and I, a great week, man. We crushed it this week. We will be back Monday at 10 a.m. right here, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're the Insiders. Have a great, safe weekend, everybody. And until Monday at 10 a.m., drink water and be nice to people. This is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.